10,000 diseases are known to medicine. Only 500 have established treatments. Today, it takes around $2 billion and up to a decade to bring a single new drug to market. And from 2007 to 2012, private sector investment in medical innovation in the United States fell by $13 billion. Meanwhile, investments increased around the world. One source of the problem might be the Food and Drug Administration. Janet Marchibroda is director of the Health Innovation Initiative at the Bipartisan Policy Center. She joins me now with some recommendations on how to improve the way FDA carries out its mission. Ms. Marchibroda, great to have you on.
Good morning, Tom. It's great to be with you this morning.
Now, the FDA and reforming how it does things is a hill that a lot of people have run up in recent years. So tell us what prompted all of this from the Bipartisan Policy Center.
So for the past several months, there has been unprecedented bipartisan support for changing the way that America approves new drugs. We saw some activity in the House. The full House of Representatives actually passed the 21st Century Cures Act, and now the Senate is poised to act. And so enormous support across the aisle, across every sector of healthcare, to accelerate the level of medical innovation in our country. So it's an exciting time.
Is the basic issue that this law addresses and so forth and that your recommendations have is that it just takes too long and costs too much money to get a new pill out there?
Yes, Tom. It does cost too much and it takes too long. And it has to do with the way that the U.S. handles the development process here. There are a number of other issues in our report that we cover. First, we address the medical development process, but we also address recommendations to improve the FDA's capacity and their scientific expertise. So there's a whole set of recommendations there. And then finally, when you think about it, part of the time and the cost relates to getting clarity for sponsors that go for approval. What do I need to deliver? How should I deliver it? And so this notion of regulatory clarity is also a big issue, and we address that quite a bit in our report.
Well, let's talk about the recommendations for the FDA itself. You say they need more capacity and they need more scientific expertise. Tell us more about some of those recommendations.
Absolutely. So we devote a fairly large section of the report on this issue. And so the FDA, and they'll need to work with HHS, the Department of Health and Human Services, and also the Office of Personnel Management to address some of the issues around recruiting and hiring and retaining employees. It's really difficult to find folks with the expertise needed to actually review and approve some of these new therapies. So we call for implementing direct hiring authority. There are other things. There are exemptions from standard federal agency hiring policies that are often granted, and they need to raise the caps for that. And then it's funny, there are some barriers about even doing things like attending scientific conferences and meetings. And so we call for eliminating those barriers. And by the way, the House legislation also includes those recommendations. And there are some other things like a waiver of the OMB Paperwork Reduction Act to make it easier for the FDA to actually collect information that will inform them, support them with their mission.
Now, the FDA, though, has often been characterized as so risk averse that almost most things can't get approved because, there might be one bad effect for one in 10,000 people. I'm just making up that number. But do you think that culturally the agency has to maybe update itself also?
Yes. I think culture has a lot to do with it. And it's tough when something happens and there's a lot of backlash. It will make you, as you say, risk averse. And this is where Congress comes into play. I mean, Congress providing support for the FDA to make the changes that it really needs to make would play an enormous role in supporting them and moving forward. Tom, I mentioned there's one other issue that could really help the FDA in improving how it handles its processes related to medical innovation, and that's about the use of public-private partnerships. A lot of times, if you don't have capacity, it's a new area. There are very few people in the country that know what to do. They can use these public-private partnerships, whether they're hosted by patient groups or others, to just gather more information and help them carry out their role.
We're speaking with Janet Marchabroda. She's director of the Health Innovation Initiative at the Bipartisan Policy Center. And when you get to public-private partnerships, there's another player that affects all of this, and that is the tort lawyers, the medical malpractice lawyers that have caused this, in part, the risk aversion that everybody has in this whole field. Anything that can be done in that area? That seems where, like, Congress could also act.
We don't actually address that particular issue in our report, but I can tell you there is broad. We interviewed and held roundtable discussions with hundreds of individuals across every spectrum and did quite a bit of research, and there's a lot of support for this particular set of recommendations, as well as all of them.
And does the 21st Century Cures Act, does that do what it's supposed to do? I mean, does that go far enough, or are you going with your recommendations a little bit beyond what it would do?
Well, we're really excited about the 21st Century Cures Act and the leadership of Chairman Upton and Representative Diana DeGette and all of those who move that forward. Our report actually includes a number of policies that are included in 21st Century Cures Act, and we call those out and say, as Senate, as you move forward, we hope that you'll consider these. There are a number of recommendations also that build on and take a little bit further some of the CURES recommendations. And then there's a whole swath of new recommendations that aren't in CURES, whether there wasn't enough time as they were moving forward, or some are just new ideas.
And what's, I mean, any particular new ideas that you think are really cool?
Well, one that we're really excited about in 21st Century Cures, they talk about using real-world evidence. So, what does that mean? That means information in the real clinical experience. Once a drug hits the market, you know, how is it working for real patients in the real world with real docs, real clinicians? And 21st Century Cures talks about using that data to support post-market surveillance and approval of new indications for existing drugs. We take it a little bit further, given all of the investment in these electronic health records and clinical systems in the U.S., particularly over the last 5 years. What about using those to augment the pre-market process, the clinical trials process? There's a lot of work to do. You need to create a framework. We need to see pilots of this virtual infrastructure and the like. But this holds great promise in significantly reducing the cost and improving the effectiveness of clinical trials.
Now, there is a fairly new commissioner at the FDA, Dr. Steven Ostroff. Have any of this been discussed with him? And what kind of reaction are you getting from the FDA and its different channels of inquiry in there?
We've had a lot of discussions with the FDA along the way as we approach this report, as well as members of Congress on both sides of the aisle and stakeholders. So we spent a bit of time with the FDA walking through the recommendations and gaining their input prior to the release of the report.
And any idea of the reaction? Do they say, forget about this, or maybe there's some hope here or some promise?
Nothing on record.
Okay, but they're aware of what it is that you're recommending.
Absolutely.
So where does it all happen from here? What's the status of the Cures Act at this moment? And so I guess it's now up to the Senate, from what I understand you're saying. And so you're trying to get a few more provisions in the Senate version that you hope the House then would go along with in reconciliation?
Yes. So it's a really important period in time. And actually, Senator Lamar Alexander, the chairman of the Senate Help Committee, was with us on Monday when we released the report on Capitol Hill. And there are a number, again, just like the House, a very bipartisan process. A number of working groups have been working on the Senate side, and they're, you know, moving very deliberatively and quickly on pulling something together, whether it's this year or next year, on medical innovation. And what we are going to do is take a handful, 10, maybe 12 of these recommendations and drill down even further to inform deliberations in the Senate.
All right, so let's say this all happens and this reform occurs and FDA, you know, gets the marching orders from the new order out of Congress. In, say, 2 or 3 years, in your view, what would a different FDA look like? And what would be the effects of all of this on what it does?
Well, a different FDA would be one that felt that it had the scientific expertise and capacity to move through and provide greater clarity on a range of issues like combination products or precision medicine or laboratory developed tests or a whole range of issues. And again, I don't want to get into too many details, but a small portion of laboratory developed tests. A new FDA, you know, would be reducing the enormous backlog of unfilled positions, so they were fully staffed, you know, even with what's been authorized. And what does it mean for us? It means that we'll get cures faster. As you mentioned when you opened up the show or the discussion, for the 10,000 known diseases in this country, there are only 500 treatments. And for those facing a disease with potentially life-saving treatments like this and trials, the clock is ticking entirely too slowly. So there's great hope for many people in our country.
All right. Janet Marchabrota is Director of the Health Innovation Initiative at the Bipartisan Policy Center. Thank you so much for giving us that update.
Thank you, Tom.